We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Longtime NFL quarterback, former Browns quarterback, Jason Campbell is with us. Jason, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Just, living a dream.
That's right. That's right. What are you up to these days? I know you got your show, the host of Believe in Everything Auburn on the Believe Podcast Network, and we'll get to Anthony Schwartz. What else are you up to this day, living the life post-football?
Sometimes I do TV. I do TV sometimes. Yeah. Like last year, I did a pregame, postgame for NBC,
right.
For the NFL. And then also, like you said, do the podcast show that I do. And other than that, sometimes I'm helping out young kids and like force development and training, different things and aspect. But so I stay busy. I say that. I've always got a busy day.
I bet you know, I was saying before, that the Browns have put, you know, and you were part of the Browns, and the Browns were awful for 25 years for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've put together this team that won a playoff game last year. They had a good offense. The defense wasn't very good. They spent the whole offseason building this defense. And at least on paper, we got to see it on the field, but on paper they've mm-hmm. really improved. I mean, you didn't have this kind of talent here when you played here, Jason. I mean, they have put a lot around Baker Mayfield right now.
Yeah, they have, and I think that's the difference. You know, you're talking about a young guy that they drafted that high overall, and they put so many expectations on a quarterback. I was just like, you name any quarterback that's very successful, I was just like, and look what's around him. I said, you know, even Pat Mahomes, you look at him in Kansas City, I was like, he got four of the fastest receivers in the NFL. He got one of the better top two tight ends in the NFL. And then at the end of the day, he got one of the best signal callers to come through the NFL, and Andy Reid. I was just like, so – you know, you have to put people around people and give them an opportunity to be successful. I remember my time up there, we had a good young nucleus, and I remember I thought I'd get a chance to play earlier, and I understood they was trying to play Brandon Weeden and wanted me to kind of mentor him, so I was okay with that. And then when he got hurt and Hoyer went in, and then it's supposed to be my turn, and then when Hoyer got hurt, it's supposed to be my turn again and went to Weeden. So then, you know, I was kind of frustrated at that time, but then by the time I got a chance to play, we was in the thick of our schedule, and we go to Kansas City, and a game that we almost should have won. They was undefeated, and we get right there, and we lose that one. And, you know, then we in New England. We're up by 12 with a minute and 50-some seconds to go, and we lose the game. I was just like, I look at somebody on the side, I said, we ain't even got the ball back on offense yet, and we're down by 2 points with 30-some seconds to go. I was like, how does that happen? We were just up 12 with a minute and 50 to go. So it's just like things will happen, but then you'd be like, okay, we come back the next year, we're going to have a great opportunity to be a really good football team because we're a young team, we're learning, and we can keep some of these pieces together with some of the veterans. We can be really good the next year, but what happens in the offseason is always a revolving door. So I think what the Browns are doing now, they hired a GM, they hired, you know, people that kind of like know what they're doing and know how to build a team and everything, and that's what they're doing. That's the difference. Like, they're building teams. They're not just, you know, just – having a revolving door just going on. The guys are staying there 3, 4, 5 years together, and they're growing. So I think the Browns have an opportunity to be really good this year. Like I said, from an offensive standpoint, it'd be interesting to see what they do with Odell. My gut feeling is they're probably going to try to trade him somewhere before training camp. Because they saw how well their offense moved without him. And, you know, sometimes it puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback to try to force the ball to one person. But when you can move the ball around to any and everybody, and when everybody expects the ball every down, no one knows who's going to get it, it changes your complex as an offense. Everybody grows because everyone knows at any given time they can touch the football. And that's the difference. And so the good thing that they're doing, they're building a defense, man. Defense winning championships and offense sell tickets. And, you know, they're understanding that.
So you're not of the belief that they're a better team with Odell than without him?
Yeah, I just don't see it because you think about it. Like, you know, when they was – look at the streak that they went on. And it's nothing against Odell. Odell's a great receiver, you know, a tremendous talent. It's just that it put so much pressure on a guy. Like when he was with Eli, it's a different story. Eli had already won 2 Super Bowls, and Eli was already a proven veteran. So you got a younger quarterback, and he comes in the league, and then here's Odell comes over with him. Odell is more popular, so then Odell is the guy with all the attention, and you just paid him a ton of money. So then the quarterback is coming in, and he's trying to prove himself. But then Odell is also trying to stay elite in the NFL, so it forces him to have to throw the ball to him, even when he's double covered. If you see your star receiver, Gronald, then first thing you want to do as a quarterback is, okay, I'm just going to try to get him the ball, instead of just saying, okay, you know, I'm going to distribute the ball all over the field. And then once everybody else start getting the ball, then defenses have to honor that. Now it frees him up to have an opportunity to get some one-on-one stuff. Now I can take the ball and I can throw it to him instead of trying to throw it to him in double cover. So it kind of sometimes when you have a star receiver, it can hinder your offense unless you have an offense that is kind of built where this guy's going to get his 6 or 7 touches, but you may get him on the run. You may hit him in different scenarios. It may not always be down the field you're trying to force it to him. But I just feel like when I saw what they was doing to get to the playoffs, they went to running the football really well.
Yeah.
If you look at Baker Mayfield's touchdown to interception ratio at that time, and you see his pass completion percentage, everything went up because it was no pressure on him to force the ball to a guy to make someone happy. It was all about, we're going to do what's best to win the game, and that's run the football, play action pass, move Baker out of the pocket, get him out of the open space where he feels most comfortable, and he don't have to stand behind the offensive line sometimes, which makes it harder for him to see when blitzes are coming at him. We got those big linemen. Let's move him a little bit. And that's what they did. They moved him outside the pocket. They made some easier throws for him, got his confidence going. And that was the difference in the second half of the season than the first half of them.
We're talking with Jason Campbell, former Browns quarterback. For me, I'd rather keep Odell, hope that Baker has, you know, gotten over that with his success last year, and see if the offense can be even better. But it'll be interesting to see if you turn out to be right. You know, Jason, I want to get to Anthony Schwartz, who played at Auburn yesterday. We spoke with Gus Malzahn yesterday. We spoke with Chad Morris today. They seem to be really excited about his potential in the NFL. You know, obviously he's a raw prospect, a third-round pick, and he's got tremendous speed. What's it going to take for him to transition from college to NFL player?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when you think about Anthony, like this guy, like I said, I cover and work for Auburn Sports Radio team for home games. And, you know, he has exceptional speed. You know, that's never been a question or any doubt. And he can take the top off of defense. And I think that's something he can do for the Browns. He is a fast guy. He's probably up there with Tyreek Hill as far as speed. So I think the difference is for him is how strong can he get from a physical standpoint to absorb the hits and absorb the presses that people are going to try to do to him in the NFL, where when they look at him and he's such an exceptional talent and speed that they're going to say, okay, to our defensive back, we're not playing 5-6 yards off this guy and give him an opportunity to get his speed going. We need to get up in his face from the start of the snap of the ball and try to get a hand on him so he can't build his speed up. And so for me, that means he's going to have to hit the weight room a lot harder. He's going to have to get a little bit stronger and everything so that he can handle the press and be able to get off of press and still get his release and get down the field by utilizing his speed. And I think if he can do that, then, you know, it's sky's the limit what you can do with him. You can use him on a lot of crossing routes, for especially versus two-man or man coverage where you're getting the ball on the run. He makes one guy miss, he could turn it to 30, 40 yards. And besides just taking him, and then sometimes you take him on the top, take the top off the defense, you take two guys out of there, safety in the corner. Now you're able to hit those underneath guys, Landry and some of those other guys, the tight ends to catch the ball. And if Odell's there, it helps Odell at the same time. But I just feel like, you know, this is a kid, he didn't get a ton of balls thrown to him in college. You know, you make the most of what happened when he had opportunity. But you can do a lot of different things with him. You can utilize them in reverses. You can utilize them in sweeps and different things. So it helps put – it's just another tool that you can add to your offense to put pressure on the defense, opposing defenses. I would just say they didn't run a lot of routes with him at Auburn. You know, let's just be honest. You know, the system that they ran, it wasn't a lot of route combinations in games. So, you know, hopefully him being there with the coach he has, the Browns, that they're going to – utilize him in different sets where he understands route combinations. And then once he get into the games, and it's not that he can't run the routes, he can run the routes. Because I've heard before that they practice some of those routes, but they just in transition to the game. So it'll be a great opportunity for him to get in game. I like to see him run like some comebacks or some curls or some big routes and some crossers and different things like that. I didn't get a chance to see much of it, Auburn.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we asked Gus Malzahn, we had him on a couple days ago, and you know, he's never going to tell us that he, you know, let a player down or anything like that. But my perception of it was that they didn't necessarily put Anthony in the best situations possible. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And, you know, he would probably tell you that and everything. And, you know, let's be fair to Anthony. You know, he had a young quarterback. You know, Bo Nix was a true freshman the year before last. And then this year he was a true sophomore. And so with a COVID year, you know, where they didn't have a chance to have spring ball last year, they didn't have a chance to go through summer, similar to what OTAs are in the NFL. They didn't get a chance to have those things. So, you know, he made the most of what he could have. And yes, he could have came back for another year, but he decided to, you know, he was ready to move on to the next level. And fortunate for him, he landed with a good team that's trying to get it right. You know, he didn't land with a team that's still, like you say, like the Browns were for 25 years where everything was revolving door. You know, that had been the worst situation for him to come into. But he's coming into a situation where a team is now built for confidence. Their defense is getting tough and strong. They're working on that. And then they add another weapon on offense, and you have one of the best run games in pro football. So, you know, that's going to make people bring an eighth person in the box anyway. So it's going to give him a lot of opportunities to utilize his speed on double moves. And just because they got to put that eighth man in, it'll stop Chubb and those guys running the football.
Jason, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all. Hey, have a good one.
Thank you.
You too. Jason Campbell.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.